samalochen Shamil Alexander udu dun hem zume baset mendiane gu umta u baset nasha aturaye sulaye.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
I'm Lauren.
And today we have, our guest today is Alex DeBood.
Hey, what is up?
So she's our roommate, but also a super sick smarty pants who knows all about Assyrian culture, and she is Assyrian, so that makes sense.
So, you know, our podcast is about quarter life crisis, like what different people are going through in this, like, transition life stage. What is your quarter life crisis look like right now?
Yeah, right now, so I think you guys know this, but since I moved here, so I'm from Chicago, moved here to Tucson in 2016, and there's quite literally no Assyrian population here. And so I think that is what my quarter life crisis is finding my identity. And exploring that, it's like, how can I be Assyrian all the time, you know, and what does that look like, and not removing that part of my life from me. So like walking into a classroom, walking into church, walking into like all these different facets of my life, being 100% who I am, you know, I'm fully Assyrian and I'm 100% American, like I grew up here, I was born here, you know. And so that's my quarter life crisis, is just figuring that out, you know, and just like, how am I supposed to be who I'm made to be and who I'm created to be? You know, I've been given this blessing of culture, of beautiful culture. And so how do I take that with me, you know? And also just my quarter life crisis is figuring out where I am with my faith, you know, and like just different things that play a role into that. College has been a huge change and transition of my life in my faith. And I'm so thankful for that. So figuring that stuff out too, you know.
Cool.
And they like so closely coincide.
Yeah.
It's like culture, ethnicity, and faith, you know. So
definitely.
That's my quarter life crisis right now.
Cool. And in your future, so what do you want your future to look like? What's your goals, dreams?
Goal, dreams. Yeah, honestly, it changes literally every single day. I'm like, wait, I can be
That's
a doctor,
so okay.
I can be a lawyer, I can be like all these different things.
You can. You can be anything you want to be.
I know. What if, yeah, that's true. But I think what the goal is to go to law school and focus on immigration and just human rights law as a whole. Just like human rights violations in the internationally. Just immigration's huge right now, you know, so that would be amazing to go through. If I go through all of that, that would be great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what or who the Syrian people are, do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Just
I'd
to
love
start.
To. Yeah, so Assyrians are an ethnic minority, and we are indigenous to northern Iraq, northeastern Syria, southeastern Turkey, and northwestern Iran. Both ancient and modern Assyrian history are significant for various reasons. Assyrians, so we trace our identity back to like thousands of years. Ancient Assyria, we were known as the cradle of civilization, or that's what we like to tell ourselves. So those are what Assyrian people are. So the ancient Assyrians you learn about in textbooks are who we link our ancestry to today.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who we are. There's different like ethnic, religious, so we're a cultivated community. We look super diverse too, but our ethnic name is Assyrian, but there's so many subcultures within the Assyrian name.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's who we are.
What, do you have a specific subgroup that you like identify with, or just Assyrian?
So I'm Assyrian and I'm an Aturetsa, so I identify myself as an Assyrian and just an Assyrian, but there are other subgroups, so other ethnic religious groups that call themselves, like, for instance, Chaldean. So they're Assyrian, but they're just Catholic, but they would call themselves Chaldean. And kind of move along with that identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're just like the umbrella, and there's so many different other, which is really cool. Just
yeah,
like,
super interesting.
So cool. Many people, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know how many Assyrians there are?
Yeah, so honestly, this number is disputed amongst like historians, Assyrian historians, but I would say around 2 million, probably around the world, all around the world.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know how many there was in the prime of like the Assyrian Empire? Was it like every...
I don't know everyone? What the population was, but
yeah.
I know that there was a lot.
Yeah, it was the Assyrian Empire.
Yeah, it was
so.
Like the Great Assyrian Empire, right? But yeah, our population, unfortunately, instead of increasing, we just decrease like consistently because of just religious persecution, not even religious persecution, ethnic persecution,
mm-hmm.
because of who we are and because what we identify as.
Yeah. Where does that take place, like, religious persecution of Assyrians, like, is that modern day?
Oh, yeah.
In,
yeah.
Like, where?
All the time. So, it happened in 1915, and we call that Seifio, and 2 out of every 3 Assyrians were killed.
Wow.
So the Armenian...
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Isn't that insane?
2 out of 3?
It's
kind of
crazy that we don't hear more about that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, Lauren and I hear about it because we're roommates with you, but, like, if I wasn't a roommate with you, I would not know about that.
Yeah.
And
but
like, I still didn't know 2 out of 3. That's...
Yeah. Insane. And, like,
yeah,
do you guys remember talking about the Armenian genocide?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, our country doesn't technically recognize that as a genocide,
yeah.
but the Armenian, Assyrian, Greek genocide was one complete thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, X number amount of Armenians and Assyrians and Greeks, and it's like, that is not talked about, you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
it's so important. It's not just religious persecution. Like,
yeah.
yes, majority of those people were Christian, but it's also, like, ethnic cleansing,
yeah.
you know, and it's like, oh my
scary.
Goodness, this is scary. Like, you're
yeah.
literally trying to wipe out an entire, like, masses of groups of people, you know, and it's still denied to this day in Turkey.
Yeah.
It's still denied.
So was that in Europe or the Middle East?
It was in the Middle East.
Both?
Yeah, it was in Turkey. So Turkey committed that genocide, but it's not recognized
yeah.
by them at all.
That's crazy.
There's still protests to this day about
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Dang. So, what does your culture kind of look like in your family and, like, all of that?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, talk about your family.
My fandom. I love my little fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a first generation Assyrian, so I was born here in Chicago. And what being Assyrian looks like in my family is being at home, talking
yeah.
in Assyrian, going to Assyrian church, involving ourselves within the Assyrian community and just doing like little festive stuff, like we have Assyrian New Year's, just a bunch of like different things that you kind of just learn growing up. And so I bet like the culture that you've learned of like going to 4th of July and celebrating
yeah.
your independence and different things, I kind of did the same thing but in a different way.
Yeah.
And so it's cool coming here and living with you guys because it's like I get to learn about the majority American culture.
Yeah.
So it's super sweet, it's super rad. So yeah.
That's so cool. Very cool.
Where did your family come from? When did they come here? Like, what's that background look like?
Yeah.
Okay, so my parents came here right after or during the Gulf War in 1990 in Iraq. So my dad was born in Baghdad and my mom was born in Kirkuk, which are both places in Iraq, and they lived there for a long time until I think mid-teens, and my mom moved to Iran because she couldn't.
So it's an Assyrian town.
They both went to Iran, not together.
They
didn't know each other. They both went to Iran, waited there for a couple of years in Tehran, which is a huge, which not huge, but there's a bunch of Assyrians there and in Urmi, and so they lived there with an Assyrian population, and then they came here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, they immigrated here. It took a couple years, but for just a better life, just because their life and their childhood looked nothing like what it looked like during the Baathist regime, and so a lot of stuff was changing, and with that, so was their status in
mm-hmm.
Iraq, and what resources and what schools they can go to, just
yeah.
like it's not just like, it's like, you can't have this job, you can't go to this school. Mm-hmm. And so,
because they're Syrian or because...
Yeah, because whether or not, because it's just like you, I don't know how to compare, but yeah, because they're Syrian or because they're Christian.
Okay.
You mm-hmm. know, so it looks differently. Yeah. And it's not like direct oppression, it's just like through little like... mechanisms.
Yeah.
It's very like deceitful.
Choose
and so
other certain people over
yeah.
others.
Yeah.
They would never say like that's why.
Mm-hmm. And the oppressors can just be like, well, we're not doing this. Like, what are you talking
yeah.
about? Here's X, Y, and Z. Like, we're not oppressing you guys.
Gotcha.
You know, but like on the other side of that is like, hey, no, like we're the indigenous people of this land.
Yeah.
You are oppressing us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's 2 million Assyrians that lived in Iraq. Or within that region of ancient Assyria. And now there's estimated less than 250,000 because of
wow.
persecution. So,
wow.
like, how, where is that disparity? 2 million
yeah.
to less than,
yeah.
like, we are the indigenous people to that land. And, of course, right now I'm, like, using colonial language
mm-hmm.
of, like, that's my land, that's our land. But, like, that's what colonizers have, like, made it to
yeah.
like, be,
yeah.
you know, like, this, like, self-determination of, like, whose land is this? Who gets to live here? You know, and so, just super interesting stuff.
Is it dangerous for that 250,000 population of Christians to still live there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it more dangerous than it was, than it ever has been? Or is it just always this kind of looming, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a super good question. Some other minorities, like Yazidis, also live there. And so, in 2014, ISIS came and kind of swept the area clean. But before I, that's like the narrative that like TV likes
yeah.
to play
mm-hmm.
in a lot of Americans. But what actually really happened before they came is the Kurdish regional government and their militia came in first and didn't warn the Assyrian town at all. And just took all of our weapons with them and were like,
wow.
like, give us your weapons, give us this, like, and kind of just like left this town of like Assyrian people to just like fight for themselves, you know, like they didn't tell us to flee, they just took our things and left, you know. And so and then ISIS came and our people fled without their things on their backs, literally with no shoes on. Like, there are so many testimonies to people leaving their homes with nothing, you know. And these people have kids, they have lives,
yeah.
they're like, these people had jobs, you know. And that narrative is never talked about. So ISIS is the face of our oppression, but Kurdistan
yeah.
and the some of the people in the KDP party, which is the Kurdish Democratic Party, are our real oppressors on the day-to-day. And a group like ISIS is just the face of oppression,
yeah.
you know. And so ISIS is like, oh, you're not Muslim, so like we're coming in and doing this. But like
yeah.
with the Kurds, it's like, you're not Kurdish, you know. So this
mm-hmm.
is why we're going to oppress you, you know. And so also, just to be clear, like, this, my stance on like, what we're talking about, like, it's very political.
Yeah.
It's very political. So it's like, this is a political stance I've been taught, you know, by like just brilliant people.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I know, and this is my side of the story and what, like, how I speak about it. So what my stance is not all of Assyrians, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to like keep that clear, you know.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
all don't, we all aren't like, meh, you know. So yeah.
What did, you are kind of involved in the, like, activism for, like, Syrian politics. What does that look like?
Yeah.
What have you done?
Politics. So, yeah, I got super passionate about Assyrian stuff and, like, mobilizing the Assyrian community when I was, like, 16, when the thing in 2014 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just active. I held an event at my high school that had a panel with, like, a bunch of Assyrians that immigrated to America from Iraq because of persecution, and like people our age, you know, shedding a light to like what their experiences are being in a high school where they're in a complete separate classroom than everyone, with a teacher that doesn't know their language. And so, like, I used to not want to be their friend because I thought it was kind of embarrassing. Like, I don't want to be friends with these people that don't know English and like just
mm.
are, you know, not American. But then after everything happened, like a year after, I was like, no, like, let's get together, let's do this thing for you guys and have your voices heard. You know, like, I walk right next to you in the hallway, but I'm not talking to you, but we are the same people, like, we speak the same language, and, like, what is this, like, discourse of, like, why are we so separated, you know, not just Assyrian and Assyrian, but, like, this American world and this other world of people that just come in, you know, it's, how do we integrate, how do we cultivate this community that's healthy, and we talk to each other, and we're in dialogue, and we respect each other, and love each other, because ultimately, what's bigger than loving your neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's what we want to do. That's, like, in any scenario, in any case, not just with my Assyrian friends, but, like, anyone of any ethnicity, of any background, you know?
Definitely.
And so I did that. I went to D.C., which was really,
yeah,
really cool.
I was so proud of you.
Thanks. That was cool. Yeah, so D.C. was super, super rad. There was a group of 10 youth Assyrians, and yeah, we got a group of 10 people, and we decided that we're going to stage a demonstration at the United States Institute of Peace, which is somewhere in DC. And so there is a dialogue and a discussion happening about Iraq's minorities,
mm-hmm.
but Assyrians weren't invited into that dialogue. And it's like, hello, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, we are a minority group and you're not inviting us here.
Yeah.
And so the Kurds, there is a representative, her name is Bayan Rahmani, and she was representing the KRG and the KDP, and just like the Kurdistan regional government, on behalf of minorities. And we're like, dude, are you kidding? Like, no, like,
yeah,
this isn't going to happen right now. And so we just, like, right before she got introduced and she was about to speak, and we just, like, stood up and we're like, no justice, no peace, shame on KRG. Just because it's like, how are you gonna speak on our behalf? How are you not? And it just goes to show, like, you're not even inviting us into conversations,
mm-hmm.
about what we do with our minority population, like,
yeah,
you know. And so it was just so, it was awesome, it was cool.
I remember seeing that video, and I didn't know exactly what it was about, but when you guys all stood up and, like, like, yelled that and, like, walked out, I was like, dang, that's impressive.
That's a roommate.
If I'm being, like, super
so cool.
honest, I stood up and completely forgot what to say. And I was like, what am I saying? Literally, I'm
okay.
So thankful we had, like, a head leader. Her name's Michelle Suleiman, and she's so BA.
Yeah.
She's so badass. But, like, yeah, she's so awesome. She just, like, kind of, like, headed the whole thing and, like, the whole protest part. And so I was like, thank goodness you were there, because I literally forgot what to say in that instance. It was, like, nerve-wracking. There were, like, 200 people there,
yeah,
you know, and we, like, got asked
it's
to leave,
like,
and
yeah,
they took our name tags. I was like, please take my name tag. I don't want to ever come back.
You got asked to leave as you were leaving?
Yeah, they're like, you guys need to leave right now. We're
like,
okay,
we
know we're
leaving. Like, that's why we stood up.
Yeah.
To leave.
It was just funny, like, turning around and seeing everyone's faces, because it's like, oh, we're like, helping these people. Why is, like, what's going on? Why are these kids protesting,
yeah,
you know? And it's like, we're helping, like, America, like, we're aiding the Kurds. Why are these kids doing this, you
yeah
know? So it's just another story that's untold.
Yeah.
You know?
They were probably, yeah, that's such an American thing too, where they're like, they don't know the full picture, I feel
mm-hmm
like. I think that's pretty common.
Yeah, all around the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's super cool that you voiced that, so people could at least get interested, you
mm-hmm
know?
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Okay, and then the Syrian conference that happened a few weeks ago?
There was an Assyrian policy conference in May that I went to that was also in D.C. And,
okay,
yeah, it was, like, a cultivation of brilliant Assyrians, like, historians, lawyers, doctors, just activists that are just super prominent in the Assyrian community and coming and just, like, talking about, okay, how do we mobilize? Like,
mm-hmm,
how do we get this grassroots community involvement of, like, let's mobilize the Syrian youth, the Syrian community as a whole, so we can reform policy, so we can, like, inflict change on just our government to, like, help policy. Because the policy in America affects what happens in Assyria, in Iraq.
Definitely.
And so it's like, how do we change this? But yeah, we have this saying in Assyrian, and it goes, Ganan Qaganan, and what that means is ourselves for ourselves. And so we've come to this conclusion as an Assyrian community that we are going to do this by ourselves. We appreciate help, but nothing is going to happen if we don't do anything. So again, with that like grassroots community involvement, and that's kind of what that conference was. It was just like a mobilization kind of showcase thing, and it's happening next year again. Shameless plug. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. And then 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I went to the Assyrian convention that happens annually every single year, and it's kind of split. It's like, okay, there's like people going to like party and have like so much fun, which is great, you know, cool, do your thing. And then there's people that are like going to lectures and still learning, and there's like a youth summit that I went to that was great. And it's another mobilization thing of like just things that are happening in our community and how we can support our community financially, and just a bunch of different things, you know. And so that was really cool, is going to this event and having fun with people that call themselves Assyrian, you know. And it's just like, I don't even know anyone, and it's this entire hotel just reserved for like 2,000 Assyrians, you know. And it's fun, it's a blast, just being around. It's kind of like our own little world, you know.
Yeah.
So it's super fun, it's super sweet, and so that was cool. The youth summit was rad.
That's what I think is so cool about like the Assyrian civilization, people, culture is like one of the oldest ones, if not the like that we know of, and there's still such a like devoted community where there's all these conferences, like multiple conferences, conventions a year, where everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people come together, and it's so kind of mind-blowing to see that last and see the culture preserved through this long of time. You know,
which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, you know? Especially in a different country than it started in.
So most of our population is in the diaspora. So, so there's 2 million, right? But there's only 250,000 in ancient Assyrian land. So it's like we're scattered. So we need things like conferences and conventions to bring us together, or else we'll just be scattered and we'll lose ourselves. We'll lose our language. We'll lose our identity. And those are things we all want to preserve, you know.
Yeah.
In the diaspora, for sure. But more importantly, in Iraq. Like, that's where I belong. That's where my parents belong. That's where my grandparents belong, you know. And so it's like, if I do have the opportunity to go back, you know, and live there, and just, like, have equity and equality, like, heck yeah, you know. Heck yeah, that's where I'm from. So, you know, just different visions within these conferences and policies of like self-determination, and whether or not that's realistic, that's not like a question I ask myself. It's like, it's kind of this thing of like, let's just do this, let's just go, you know. And so
so I know with refugee populations, usually there's a lot of refugees from a certain country in different places. Is that the same for Assyrians? Like, do they kind of all come together in one area, or like, you know what I'm talking about?
So outside of ancient Assyria, the majority of our population is in Chicago, which is where I'm from. And so and we're like the biggest mass group of Assyrians is Chicago, currently in Chicago, Phoenix area, LA, San Diego, San Francisco, just
the big cities.
Just think about like how urban areas evolve. There's more job opportunities. That's the same things. That's why Assyrians live in those big places, you know.
Definitely.
It just really wouldn't really make sense if we lived in like Arkansas or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait, what are you doing here?
We'll get into that actually. It's interesting. Why are you a Assyrian activist, and why do you do what you do? What motivates you?
Just the people back home, you know. I am in touch with some people back home and get to hear their voices and their stories and what they do on the ground, and that's what motivates me here. Is sometimes they don't always have a voice, and you know, I have an opportunity to be their voice, and I will take that anytime, any day, you know, and just fight for them, fight for our cause. It's our cause, you know. And yeah, so we don't know what the future of a homeland looks like, but that's eventually what we'd like to see.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Alex, for coming on our podcast and just, like, informing our audience more about this topic. It's definitely something that I would not know about unless I lived with you, so...
Yeah, same for me.
And it's super, like, it's so cool, and I love learning more about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is awesome. Sharing. I love this. You guys are doing great. Keep trekking, dude.
Thanks!
Okay, well, thank you all for listening to this week's episode. You can check us out on Instagram, and our email is podcast.qlc@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, hit us up.
We also have a Facebook. It's updated. I keep it updated. We don't have... Go like it if you have a Facebook, please.